Welcome to Building Great Leaders with Dr. Les Olala.
People say, well, if I understand, I'll obey. That's backwards. You cannot show me one instance in the scriptures where understanding preceded obedience.
On today's program, Dr. Olala focuses our attention on what the scripture says about Abraham and the path to faith. This message was recorded at a conference in 1992. Building Great Leaders provides instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Our speaker, Dr. Les Olala, is the founder and director of Building Great Leaders and has been serving the Lord in full-time ministry for 50 years as a pastor, Bible college president, and evangelist. And now, Abraham and the path to faith.
What is this whole business of faith? I've taken some key thoughts from Exploring Genesis by John Phillips that I thought would be a help and an encouragement to you, because some of the steps of faith that you've made are going to put you wondering during pressured times whether or not you've lost your mind, or whether you have missed God's mind, or whether you have missed your purpose in life, and you made an emotional decision to do what you did. So each one of you, I think, could stand and testify specifically as to the leading of God, the circumstances, the counsel you received, and you came to this point. Now, does that mean as you're going through life, there will not be times of anxiety, and there will not be times of turmoil and times of stress, that you will be completely problem-free? I think you will see the contrary is normally true. When a person decides to walk by faith and to obey God, the pressures, the difficulties do not diminish. They generally increase. But they are toughening times. They are the calisthenics for the Christian believer as he would strengthen himself in his walk with God. And here we find Abraham leaving Ur of the Chaldees, being told by God to pack up and leave, not knowing where he was going, and just starts out by faith going the direction that God would have him to go. You know, there had to be a lot of questions in the minds of people. They saw Abraham getting everything ready. I don't think they had any. I don't know what kind of a U-camels or U-hauls or rider rent a camel. May have been something of that. I would have a tendency to believe they'd be more go to a used camel lot and make a purchase, because the likelihood of a round trip was not big at that time, and the one-way drop-off was too expensive. So what they were doing, neighbors probably said, Abraham, where are you going? I don't really know. When are you coming back? I don't know. Well, why are you going? Well, God said to leave. You are just going on that? And a good study through the Old Testament, and then pick up that study in the New Testament, is what effect God's word had on the direction of the life of these people. Hebrews 11:7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he saved the world. By faith. That verse begins by faith and it ends by faith. What was the basis of Noah's action? The word. By faith, Noah, being warned of God. So the basis of that faith was God's word. If you look in Genesis chapter 12, I think you'll see that identical thing. And I think if we heard testimonies from you, you would have to say, yes, I think that it was the preaching of the word, the hearing of God's truth, that quickened my faith. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham. So you find in this setting that it was the word of God that was given. So you find Abraham believing. And just two aspects to cover. One is Abraham believing, and then the other is Abraham backsliding. You'll find the believing was much more enjoyable trip than the backsliding. Get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. 75 years old. Wow, that's when most people are thinking entitlement. Abraham was not young and just filled with vim and vigor, although I do believe that physically there was less of a deterioration than there is at this point. He had found the path of faith, and he began to follow the path of faith. So he decided to take Sarah and Lot and all their substance that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. What is important in this? Was it enough for just Abraham to be sold on this? Who else needed to be sold? Sarah. Sarah didn't have to understand everything. And by the way, God's pattern is never understanding preceding obedience. People say, well, if I understand, I'll obey. That's backwards. You cannot show me one instance in the scriptures where understanding preceded obedience. You will find they obeyed and then they understood. That's God's pattern, because that puts the belief aspect into it, and that puts the faith aspect into it. And we say, all right, I believe this is what God wants, therefore I will obey. David didn't understand everything, he just obeyed. Abraham didn't understand everything, he obeyed. You look through Hebrews chapter 11, the great roll call of the heroes of the faith, and you don't find an instance there where understanding preceded obedience. They got all the facts, gathered all the data, came up with the conclusion, this is reasonable. On the contrary, you will find them stepping into an unknown that, humanly speaking, was not reasonable, but it was right. And we find Abraham witnessing there being a testimony. Abraham took Sarah, his wife, and his brother's sons, and all their substance that they had gathered, and souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. They came as a testimony of what God was doing. Then we find Abraham walking. And Abraham passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. So there came the walk. You say, all right, I've believed. I've stepped out by faith. I want to be a testimony to the world. And perhaps there might be some difficulties that will come in along the way. And then you find Abraham waiting. Abraham passed through the land. And then verse 7, and the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto the mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord, and called on the name of the Lord. And Abraham journeyed, going on still toward the south. So God spoke to him. He waited on God. And he worshiped God. That is, worship must precede work as surely as the nail precedes the hammer. Be careful that in the midst of your walking by faith, you take your focus away from the worship. You might say, boy, we had much prayer. We had diligent devotions. We had people praying for us. We requested people to pray for us. And then as you loaded, you didn't really have time to pray much. As you drove, you really didn't have time to pray much. As you unpacked, you really didn't have much time to pray. And suddenly you find yourself in the work and you look back and you say, what has happened to our worship? You'll find that the worship has gotten lost in the busyness and the press of responsibility and the busyness and the press, sometimes of adversity. But Abraham built an altar unto the Lord. You see how people responded when the Lord appeared. One time in reading through the scriptures, I kept a record of reactions when the Lord appeared to people and the life-changing experiences that happened when the Lord appeared unto people. There we find Abraham worshiping. He is waiting. What promise had God given to him? I'll make of thee a great nation. In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. You have to look and say, all right, I have stepped by faith. Okay, where are the big promises fulfilled, God? Can you think of any verses that relate to waiting for reward? They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, mount up with wings as eagles. Run and not be weary, walk and not faint. Is it in Hebrews where it says, having done the will of God, you might receive the promise? Did any of them die before the promise was fulfilled? Sometimes God's will was fulfilled after they were gone. They just went faithfully on till that time, and the promise would be fulfilled later. What was so important about Abraham's obedience at this point? What was dependent upon Abraham's obedience? He was saying, in thee, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. There's where you see the human element in the conditional clauses in the scripture. Where you would say a person can choose to obey or to disobey. And you might say, all of this hassle is not worth it. That's because you've lost sight of the waiting aspect. Why are you preparing? So that you might have a certificate on your wall? Or that people might be blessed by you reproducing yourself time and time again in people in need? And when you start to get pressured, the tendency is to start looking inwardly and what you are suffering, what you are lacking, and how you are hurting. And you forget the fact that there are people who are going to be reached because you will not throw in the towel and you will not turn back. But it has to be a mutual commitment. Now, there are things that may turn you aside. And I think there's where you go in forsaking the path of faith. Verse 9, and Abraham journeyed going on still toward the south, and there was famine in the land. And Abraham went down into Egypt. So we see the tendency after you have obeyed God, after you have departed, after you have gone in the will of God, what's the general expectation? Now that you've done all of that, what is the general expectation? Blessing. I didn't expect God to lead me up here and then not have any money. Is that a realistic expectation? Now, I hope none of you will miss a meal involuntarily. I hope none of you will say, you know, I have not had food in 4 days. Because there are enough around. There are enough groceries around to keep everyone afloat if we are aware of it. But do not assume that you will not experience times of famine as you walk in God's plan. If you came in preparation for the ministry, presuming that because you step by faith, God has now obligated himself to you to make sure that everything goes your way. Remember, God owes us nothing, nor does he owe us any explanations. But in grace he provides, and in grace he gives. But how quickly do we gripe when the smallest thing does not go the way we think it ought to go? You as a husband and wife have to be settled together in this matter that here we are. Let's see God's hand work. Because you have the promises of God that he'll never forsake, he will never leave you. But you also come to a time that you may experience some famine, and the tendency is to go down. That phrase throughout the Bible, and he went down. I could be wrong, but I don't know that it's ever been a right direction when someone went down. Jonah went down to the coast. He went down to the ship, went down into Whale University. Abraham went down to Timnath. He went down to Gaza. Abraham goes down to Egypt. I don't think you ever find a right direction that going down puts you higher. I could be wrong. I certainly have not looked that up. I may be contradicted in many instances, but the places that I am aware of, whenever it is said someone went down, it's always a direction away from God's place for them. How will you cope with famine? How committed are you to the eventual plan that God has for you? There is a congregation of people now being prepared for you. Will you be there? There is a classroom waiting, prepared. Will you be there? There is a school without an administrator. Will you be there? It all depends how you cope with famine. How are you going to cope with the difficulties that come along? There may be a nation waiting for the gospel as doors are now being opened in so many different areas. You might say, if this is what following God means, I don't want any part of it, because if God can't provide any better than that, then I'm not interested. You know what we do? We get a view of God as a God who just delights in making us suffer rather than a God who likes to fire us to bubble out the impurities that we might be a pure product going to that mission field and going to that classroom and going to that pulpit. A church is hurt by an unfired preacher, because he may not know how to respond when he has his first famine experience. You thank the Lord if you're going through some famine times, because no greater training could be added to your academic than the training of fire and the training of famine. Then there was foreboding that verses 10 through 12. Famine was grievous in the land, and it came to pass when he was come near to enter into Egypt that he said unto Sarai, his wife, behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass when the Egyptian shall see thee that they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me because they will but save thee alive. What's characteristic of a person walking away from God as compared to a person walking towards God? Fear. Fear is the difference. When a person begins to doubt Fear becomes prominent. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, of understanding, and of a sound mind. Because Satan just constantly hammers away to get me fearing, because fear is the opposite of faith. In so many ways, I relate to Gideon. My fear is just on the heels of my faith. Sometimes I can feel it hitting. You know, you just sort of go like that. But long as it stays that way, long as it stays where your fear is behind. And then falsehood. And he said, you say. Here, this great man of faith now is saying, lie. A half-truth is really a whole lie. Then came frustration, verses 14 and 15. And it came to pass that when Abraham was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld a woman, she was very fair. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. You know, there is a factor involved. What I fear puts a handle in Satan's hands that would not have been there had I not feared. You know why? Because that which I fear, I often make happen. If I fear that a child is going to be a certain way, or if I fear a child is going to do a certain thing, what do we do as parents? We hammer away at that until we put the idea in the child's mind. Don't be foolish today. Charlene and I were going away for a day, and I left Stephen. I said, now, Stephen, don't be foolish today. He said, why would you bring that up? I probably put all kinds of ideas in his head. I said, well, just caution. Can you think of a major Bible example where something that a man feared came to pass? Job. Job said, that which I feared has come to pass. And it makes you wonder, maybe Job was so afraid that he was hyper. And you know, you look in that early chapter there where he was offering sacrifice just in case something was wrong. And when he lost things, and then he lost these things, and he lost the family, he said, that which I feared has happened. Because when we fear, we begin to focus on other than God's perfect thinking and other than God's perfect mind and God's perfect will in that. And then failure, 17 through 20. And what a mark when the truth was found out. The plagues, when honesty would have been so much better. And then we see Isaac doing that same thing later, and leaving that same mark and that same impression. The result of Abraham's willingness to walk by faith lives on and will continue on through eternity. And when you look at the two options you have now, believing or backsliding, of the two, which had the better result? Always believing. It's always better to walk by faith rather than run from what you have. And once you develop a run mindset, it's all downhill from there. Because once you start going downhill, you go much faster than you did uphill. Even I can make good time downhill. Especially if I'm on rollerblades. You get me on rollerblades going uphill, it's just I think I can. Then downhill, woo. Even cars go like this, like when a semi goes by. I need a caution wide load sign. But I'll tell you what, every time you veer, you start heading for this dream. What does God want for you? Satan always has a rest area for you. What you need to do is get back on that main highway, because he's always wanting to get you sidetracked. And then from that rest area to get you to take another route, to get away from where God wanted you to be and what God wanted you to do. Because I believe when you have a calling from God and you have surrendered, you're going a direction from which you cannot turn without consequences. And the joy that is involved in continuing is immeasurable. You just have to say, Lord, I can't turn, because you've been too good. You have been too gracious. But oftentimes we think we deserve much, much more. And because of that, we get hurt when we don't have what there would be for us. And I thought to put you focused on a Bible character who stepped by faith, who walked by faith, he hid famine, there was failure, there was restoration, a return, and the promise was still fulfilled. And the promise to Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant, is still ongoing. And God used a man, just like he will use you in your place to have the ministry and the blessing of just obeying God and then seeing other people strengthened and blessed because of your obedience. Exciting days to be in the ministry. The darker the age, the more even a match changes things. Doesn't have to be a large light. All it needs to be is in total blackness. Someone strikes a match and it seemed like the sunrise. Because it's such a relief to have dispelled darkness with them.
Thank you for joining us for Building Great Leaders today. Dr. Les Olala speaking on Abraham and the path to faith. This program is a ministry of Building Great Leaders, providing instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders, and is produced by Harvest Ministries on Guam. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Join us again for more teaching from the Word of God next time on Building Great Leaders.